Second Peter chapter number 2, verses 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What did I tell you? I said 2 Peter? Really? I'm sorry. I had no doubt in my mind I had said 2 Peter. See, we can be deceived. 2 Timothy, excuse me, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. How could my mind revert back this morning? I don't know. Let's read it again. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, and verse 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. The things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. The Bible tells us that one of the great words of our Lord and Savior will be when we meet him, the words that every believer will want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, obviously we recognize that we need to have a definition here of faithfulness. We need to have a definition of faithfulness. Certainly, a faithfulness refers to consistency. Faithfulness refers to dependability. Faithfulness refers to trustworthiness. It refers to reliability. Faithfulness is certainly refers to consistency. Faithfulness is doing that which is right over time, no matter what the circumstances. Doing right over time, no matter what the circumstances. Faithfulness. The book of Proverbs says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You know, we like to be faithful. We like to think that we're faithful, but when going gets tough, then we think we are legitimatized to not be faithful. The Bible says the opposite. The faithful person is a person who does right when the going gets tough. That's the person you can depend upon. The person that has every reason, so to speak, humanly, not to do right because of the circumstances, but in spite of the circumstances, they do right. Now, that's the faithful man. The Bible tells us about the faithful man. It says, as smoke to the eyes, as a foot out of joint and a broken tooth. A foot out of joint. You know, you have your foot out of joint, you aren't going to walk on it. You can't depend on it, can you? Broken tooth? Boy, someone can offer you a nice, juicy ribeye steak. And you aren't going to eat it. Because you can't. You have a broken tooth. And you can't eat anything in that side of the mouth. So is unfaithful man to him that send him. Faithfulness is a person who does right no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the excuse, no matter what the trial, they keep on doing right. Faithfulness. We have to realize that those are the words of the Lord Jesus when he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now the Bible tells us here, obviously, the principle, the whole realm of being able to be faithful. You know, we would call, in human speaking, we would think faithfulness is monotonous. Monotonous. Just doing right over and 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 over. Just doing right all the time. You know, from a human standpoint, well, no, it's monotonous. But from a divine standpoint, it talks about a person who is able to access divine grace and divine power. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You know, the person who relies upon themselves, the person who is relying upon their own strength and their own energy and their own emotions, they aren't faithful. When something happens in life and their emotions are at the bottom of the barrel, they aren't faithful because their strength is faithfulness is not found in human strength. Faithfulness is found in divine strength. My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Faithfulness is founded on the ability and the reality of finding the grace of God. What is the grace of God? The grace of God is the supernatural strength and ability found in Jesus Christ. My strength, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength, Paul said, is therefore, I'm messing it up here. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness, he said. And that's what it says. Faithfulness. This consistency, this reliability, this doing right over and over and over because it is right. Why? It is a person who has learned to access the power and the grace and the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it takes to be faithful. And that's the great test of life. You know, every one of us are weak. Every one of us are weak. And in a point of disappointment, a point of discouragement, a time in which things don't go well, that's the time that we are most apt to not be faithful. And we will be unfaithful because we are depending upon ourselves. We're looking at the circumstances. We're allowing our emotions to rule our life. We're allowing the discouragements of life to lead us. And you know, discouragements can take away your spiritual strength. Ever been discouraged? You know, if you let discouragement take over, it will take away your spiritual strength. Well, actually, it's not really your spiritual strength. It's your human strength. and you'll quit. But the Bible tells us that the key principle of faithfulness is the ability to access the grace of God. And you know, that's a real living reality of the Christian life, is this ability to access the grace of God. And you know, in a sense, the new challenges of life can disguise or cloud our spiritual vision. The new experiences of life and the new responsibilities of life can cloud our vision, and we will see all these reasons why we shouldn't be faithful, why we should do less than what we're supposed to do, why we can have some excuse, you know, not to do God's will, some excuse not to be in church, some excuse not to read our Bible, some excuse not to serve the Lord. And it's because we have allowed new circumstances to cloud our vision to the real source of our strength and the source of our faithfulness, God's grace. God's grace. You know, the new experience. You know, many times we, I think that there's the new experiences of in life of being young. I'm thinking young adults. And we can wilt under those experiences, or we can access God's grace. We can take the experiences of the trials of later life, and we could use those experiences as an excuse to wilt, or we can use those experiences as an opportunity to access the grace of God. Faithfulness. It's a person who is able to access the grace of God under all circumstances. And you know, this is a real thing in the Christian life, is to be able to access the grace of God. You know, I think there's another important element of faithfulness. And let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Boy, I'm really messed up tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, I'm thinking of it. Please pray for me. I will be preaching at BCM Chapel on Tuesday. I covet your prayers. I don't preach there often, very seldom. I look forward to that opportunity. I thought I knew what the Lord wanted me to preach, but now I don't think I know. And so pray for me that I could be a help and a blessing and to preach for the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 4, it says, "So let a man account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, is required by stewards that a man be found faithful." It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Okay, so here we're talking about steward, and a steward is someone who has been entrusted with someone else's goods, with someone else's affairs, with the management of someone else's work and riches and ministry. We've been entrusted with the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been entrusted with His work. And the Bible tells us that we have this very, very sacred duty to take care of the work of God. That, of course, is the one of the pictures, symbols of the local church. The local church is the body of Christ. The symbolism is Christ's body is now in heaven. And physically, he isn't here to do his work. He isn't here to preach. He isn't here to disciple. He isn't here to carry out that ministry. And so he has given that ministry to his body on the earth. The New Testament church is his body. We've been entrusted with the ministry of Jesus Christ. We've been entrusted with getting the gospel out to the ends of the world. And so Mark chapter 13, I like this little picture of verse 34. Gives us an idea of the setting. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. He left his house, gave his authority to his servants. This is obviously the principle behind the idea of a householder. It's the idea behind the word dispensation in the Bible. It's a manager of someone else's affairs. And we are stewards. And we have been left with the Lord's work. He's gone. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so he says, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh at even or at midnight or the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Well, the watchman. The watchman can watch and stay awake every night. But if he sleeps the wrong night, when the enemy comes, he's not a faithful servant, is he? You couldn't depend upon him. You couldn't rely upon him. He was given a job to do, and in the hour of need, he went to sleep. You know, we never know when that hour of need is, do we? We never know when that hour of need is in which there was someone that God put across our path that was ready for the gospel, but we weren't ready. We weren't ready. We didn't read our Bible. Maybe we sinned, got away from God. We weren't close to the Lord. We weren't ready. God sends someone across our path. How many of those will be in heaven? Will we find out? On the other hand, you know, I know this to be true. You know it to be true. That when we are really right with God and ready, you know, when we're not right with God, it seems like there's nobody wants to hear. Nobody wants to take a tract. Nobody wants to talk about Christ. Our lips, our mouth is like it's tied shut. We can't talk for the Lord. But when we're right with God and we're ready, opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. The faithful man is the man who is on guard, on duty, ready at all times to serve the Lord. A faithful servant. You know, consistently, reliable to the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We consider ourselves as the workers for the Lord that He is relying upon. And He has given us a sacred trust, His work. And we are to be on the job for the Lord Jesus Christ. We said, oh, we want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, when was the last time that we were witnessing for the Lord? When was the last time we opened our mouth for God? When was the last time that we were doing the will of God and ready to speak for Him? I mean, you know, we could be wasting our time watching TV, wasting our time doing foolish things when we should be out. We should be doing important things for God. Faithful man is a person who is consistently on the job, ready to serve Christ, short accounts with sin, daily seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit so we can do His work. I mean, we could expand that, couldn't we? You know, we could expand that. You know, I would, just thinking out loud right now, I'm wondering, you know, last year at Family Day, we had 10 visiting families. I would think that we're going to have more this year. We could have 20. But you know, let me ask you a question. This is just a strategic, logical thinking. How many of them could get saved at Maquoneago Baptist Church? Let me interpret that. How many of them, if they got saved, would have someone to disciple them? How many are here who is willing to give of your time, who is living the right kind of life so you could be an example and not lead them astray? How many people are really willing, anxious, available to disciple other people? Your time, your life too busy? Do you have enough time to be faithful to the Lord, that God could use you to be entrusted with a soul, with a family, with a couple? How many couples do we have that are ready to disciple another couple? That's a good question, isn't it? In my logical thinking, you know, a church, there's a reality of a church where they are spiritually. Why would God save five families if there aren't five families to disciple those five families in addition to all the people who are already discipling someone? You know, what about that other, how big is the group of people who are dedicated to doing the will of God? How many people have time? How many people is that important to? You know, putting in basics, if we don't have time to read our Bible like we ought, if we're really struggling to be at church like we ought, if we're really struggling in those areas, how could we jump the next level to be a discipler for Christ and spend hours on the phone with someone, spend hours on the phone on discipling people, spend hours and time of your life to make sure that you help them? Now, there's another important principle of faithfulness, and obviously that is the idea of being faithfulness to God's truth. Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. The Apostle Paul is giving his testimony and the reality of his heart and the reality of his commitment to Christ. He says in verse 12, a great phrase here in this verse, we'll look at it. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, achieve, may apprehend or pursue that which I also am apprehended of Christ. For which I am apprehended of Christ. You know, if there's a thief out there, and he's at roaming around, you want to make sure that the police come and apprehend that guy, don't you? Right? You want him to be apprehended. You want the police to get a hold of him and detain him and put him in jail and take him out of the public, because you don't want that thief in your neighborhood, because your house might be next, right? You say, boy, I want that thief to be apprehended. Well, this is the word that scripture uses of the fact that Paul says, I have been apprehended by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has got a hold of my life. I belong to him. He has got a hold of me. I'm his. He's apprehended me. You know, this is a vital principle of faithfulness. I belong to Jesus Christ. He owns me. He has captured me. He has got a hold of my life. I have no desire to run away. He's got a hold of me. He's got a hold of my... We use the phrase, the Lord Jesus Christ has got a hold of my life. I'm not free to do whatever I want. I'm his. And here's the sense of the basic principle of what it means to be faithful. A person who has been apprehended by God. A person who recognizes that Jesus Christ has got a hold of their life, and he has called them, and he has entrusted them with the ministry. He has entrusted them with the Word of God. He is the one for whom they will give answer to. And it's the principle of, you know, everything in my life is around Jesus Christ. That's all that counts. Him. I've been apprehended by the Lord. And here we find the great principle of personal sacredness in our relationship to Jesus Christ, the sacredness of the duty that we have, the sacredness of our responsibility to do his work his way, the sacredness of his word. So then we must all give account of ourselves to the Lord. Faithfulness. One time a man was complaining to me about my preaching. Not my preaching, but what I preached about. And I said, I'm sorry. I can't go against my conscience. You might not like what I preach, but I can't preach. I can't stop preaching those things. I can't throw away my beliefs. I can't throw away the truth of the Word of God. I can't throw away what the Spirit of God has taught me in the Word of God. I can't throw it away. You know, there's a sense of sacredness to truth. There's a sense of sacredness to the Word of God. You know, faithfulness, young person, has to do with the sense of the sacredness of the holy trust that has been given to us. And that we dare not change what God, what belongs to the Lord. We dare not seek to go into some kind of strange fire. We dare not seek to want to change the old paths. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, in life, we can sometimes lose our focus. We can just lose our focus through the trials of life. We can lose our focus through the discouragements of life. We can lose our focus through the setbacks of life, the disappointments in life. When everything's going fine, it's easy to be faithful. That when we have to live by faith and do right, now we have to have our faithfulness comes from our finding the grace of God and doing right because we're accessing His power. Faithfulness. Doing right every day. Faithfulness, reading our Bible every day. Faithfulness, being a witness for Christ. Trying to be a witness every day. Faithfulness, being in prayer every day. Faithfulness, being in the Lord's house, every possible service. Faithfulness. Just doing God's work. He's entrusted us with. Being dependable. Being dependable for the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Young person, are you building your life on the principle of faithfulness? Can God count on you? Can God count on you? Can men count on you? Can the work of God count on you? Can your neighbors count on you? Can the lost count on you? Thank God His grace is sufficient. And we can do right. Not in our strength. But in His strength. And His strength is just as perfect as ever, whether it's a time of disappointment or it's a time of victory. His grace is always available. That's why we can be faithful. Maybe you're here tonight and you know you have been tempted to let down. Maybe you have been tempted to let go. Maybe you have been tempted to be less committed. Maybe you've let discouragement keep you from doing what you ought to do for the Lord. God wants us to be faithful. And His grace is sufficient for us to be faithful. And many times faith is required to be faithful. Because we don't look at the circumstances. We look at the God in the Bible who's in Christ Jesus. All His promises are yea, yea, and nay, nay. And by faith we claim His promises. By, let's say, and we know that all things work together for good for them that love God. There's an active part in being faithful. And perhaps God is speaking to your heart tonight about being faithful. And we'll leave that between you and the Lord. And trust that tonight, you'll consider. It's required in stewards to be found faithful. Are you sleeping on the job? God wants you to be watching. Many are depending on you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. And thank you for the promises, the truths, the exhortations in the Bible to be a faithful people, Lord. Not to be run by our emotions, not to be run by circumstances, not to be run by the discouragements of life and the failures of men. Lord, but to be faithful because you are the God that's on the throne, and that, Lord, it's not about our strength, which will always fail or be weak in difficult times, but it's about your strength, whose grace, supernatural ability in Jesus Christ is always available and never failing and always sufficient and always more than we could ever need. And, Lord, I pray that tonight that we would have a sense of the fact that, Lord, that we belong to you. We are yours. Our life is yours. And we are to be faithful to your calling upon our lives. And that, Lord, that we will give account, Lord, of our faithfulness to the sacred trust of your word and of truth. And of the work of God. And all that you have saved us for. May you help us, Lord, be faithful. With heads bowed and eyes closed. And the Lord is maybe speaking to your heart tonight. About this issue of faithfulness. And maybe it's because you have not been accessing God's strength. You've been going in your own strength. Been living by your emotions. And the Spirit of God is speaking to you tonight about getting God's strength so you can be faithful. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you about getting a sense of God's plan for your life, God's purpose in your life, and that He has called you to serve Him and to do it faithfully and not to let down the truth, but to go forward in the truth, et cetera. And the Lord is giving you a sense tonight that you have been letting down on the sacred trust that has been given to you. And when truth is lost, it is lost till the next revival. But God is speaking to your heart about being faithful. Maybe you've lost your energy to be faithful to Sunday school or to be faithful to the church service or be faithful to prayer meeting or to be a faithful witness. And you just need to recommit yourself to be what you ought to be and to acknowledge, yes, Lord, that's what you want me to be, and then seek His strength to do it. And the Lord is speaking to you tonight about being a faithful Christian, reliable, dependable, trustworthy, consistent for Jesus Christ. And you say, God spoke in my heart about that tonight, and there's a decision that I need to make before the Lord, and by His grace, and in His strength, I'm making that tonight. Anyone here tonight, just raise your hand wherever you might be. Okay, amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, amen. Others, Lord is speaking to your heart about being faithful. Okay, all right, amen. All right, praise the Lord. Good. All right. Good to see young people raising their hands. That's as real in their life as any. Anyone else? The Lord is speaking to me about being faithful to the Lord. Okay, amen. Amen. Okay, amen. Other hands, praise the Lord. Okay, good. All right, you can put those hands on. Any others? The Lord is speaking to me. And just raising that hand is acknowledgement of the sense of God's hold on your life and that He has a plan for you and your willingness to do His will. Anyone else? God is speaking to your heart tonight. Okay? Amen. Lord, thank you for speaking to different hearts tonight, and thank you for the truth of your grace. Thank you for the great sense that we need to have of being faithful to you. And I pray that you would work in each and every heart, Lord, that consistency of trusting you, of getting your strength, builds our life, molds us, makes us, establishes us in a way that is beyond our comprehension. And Lord, might you work in different lives as they have raised their hand and others who have made silent decisions. Work in hearts tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.